I'm going to invite you this evening to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to verse 20. We're going to read again and bless you tonight. Who of you heard the message last week? Okay, most of you. This is actually part 2 of the message that was given last week in regard to the sower, the seed, and the soils. And we're going to continue to go in this passage because obviously this was a lot of scripture and a lot of material to go through in one message. But I want to read again from verse 1 all the way to verse 20. Now, after you listen the message today, and you probably are wondering what happened last week, we have that message out in our website or YouTube page, so you can see that if you want to and listen to the first part of this message. Now, when we go to Mark chapter 4, verse 1, it says there in verse 1, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fell away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, when we look at this parable, obviously, we see the teacher, which is Jesus Christ. We see the seed, which is the word of God. And also we see the soils that represent here through this parable the hearts of men. Now, as we see this and we look at this, Jesus is the teacher of the word of God. He is the one who is the sower, who's throwing the seed. He is actually the word of God incarnate. Now, he taught the multitudes in the shores of Galilee, as we see. And at this point in time, large multitudes came to Jesus, and he was teaching them through parables. And a parable, we look at this last week, is a story that is cast alongside a spiritual truth. It's a story that is placed on the side of a spiritual truth, or an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. Something that gives a known illustration, but will give us a spiritual idea that is meant by God to give us direction or a spiritual transformation. And as Jesus explains this parable, as we see in the beginning of the chapter, the parable of the sower to his disciples, he assures them one thing through this parable. To you has been given the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God. And I want to emphasize that tonight, you know, as you are here listening to the Word of God. Let me remind you, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God through the scriptures of God. I mean, you made it to this place, and probably you have some exposure to Christianity if you're listening to this message by other means too. And at this point in time, I don't know where you are, you know, and sometimes you may wonder where you are spiritually speaking. But let me remind you of one thing. Don't take the Word of God for granted. Don't take it for granted. To you, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been given through the words of Jesus Christ. And maybe today you are listening to this message and God has a plan and a purpose for you. One, to tell you where you are spiritually speaking. And second, how can you grow to become a fruitful soil according to this parable? Now, as a follower of Christ, you are meant to know the mysteries or secrets of God in a personal way. What is the purpose of God that has been intended through the scripture and through the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life? And you are to know that in a personal way. As a church, we get together, we listen to the message, we sing, we worship. But you know, when we talk about a relationship, that's a personal thing. That's something that only God knows to some extent, to a greater extent. But you should be able to examine yourself and to know where you are in regard to this parable here in the book of Mark chapter 4. Now, Jesus also taught them, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And we went at length into this last week, and what we see is that many have rejected the message of Christ, like the scribes and the Pharisees did, and for them the teaching of God is hidden, so that they may not see the secrets of the kingdom of God, and they may not be able to humble themselves and repent and ask for forgiveness and be converted. And so, as we look into this, he said to them, and just think about this in verse 13 for a minute, Jesus challenges them and says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now, I want to remind you, as I said last week, only two of the parables, as I was studying this week, were explained or interpreted by Jesus himself. Out of the 39 or 40 or 46 or something parables that are in the New Testament, through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because I believe there's only one parable in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, out of all these parables, only two parables Jesus interprets. And so he's challenging the disciples and he's saying, do you not understand this parable? How would you understand the rest of the parables? And it makes me wonder, is this the easiest parable to understand in the Gospels? And therefore Jesus is saying, this is one of the simplest. How are you going to do it when you get to the rest of it? So we have a responsibility to grow in our knowledge and insight of the meaning of God's Word for our life, for our personal life. It's a responsibility in which we are to look and say, Lord, as I go through your word and the message and the teachings and the commandments that you have for me, what are you telling me? And when I look at these that are spiritual and eternal consequences, let me tell you this, there are spiritual and eternal consequences regarding the sensitivity of your heart through the word of God. Based on what you listen, and based on what you do with what you listen or read through the Word of God, the implications of who would you become or where would you go come. So be sensitive to the message of God. And through this teaching, you know, I was thinking, Lord, how many times have I been hard to understand your message? How many times have I been just shallow in my understanding of your word? How many times have I been too busy or not have the right priorities when it comes to the commandments and the priorities that you tell me to have? And Lord, allow me to be more and more sensitive to everything that you have for me. So we look at verse 13. Now, when we get to verse 14, and obviously we went through these verses one by one last week, but we're going to take off there in verse 14 of chapter 4. And we're going to look at these four aspects here of the seed, or the more than the seed, actually, the soils in which the seed was sown by the master teacher in this instance, which is Jesus Christ. And if you see with me in verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So we looked first at the hardened soil. Out of the four soils that Jesus is talking about, and he chose us to only quote four different soils, kinds of soils, and in these, you know, he's represented everyone who hears the message of the gospel. And he says, this group, this first group is the hardened soil. In Matthew, he says that it's like a path that has been trampled so many times and it got hard enough that the seed falls on the surface of the road and the birds come and eat that seed. Now, what I see here is Jesus explains the lack of receptiveness. The lack of receptiveness to the Word of God in those whose heart is like the soil on a hardened path. I mean, if you've been in Colorado and you've been here through the summer or maybe through the fall, you see that when you walk on a path or a road or a driveway here, by the end of the summer, it gets very, very hard. I mean, we call it mud season, right, in April. And if you're not careful, you sink everywhere you step, right, where the snow has been melted. But then by the middle of the summer or the end of the summer, you notice that the path is very hard. It's very hardened. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So just picture yourself in the Sea of Galilee, by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus is talking to farmers, the disciples and all the multitudes who were listening to Jesus, were men and women who were acquainted with farming. And as Jesus is explaining, I can picture Jesus having a piece of hardened soil or a path over there, and some soil in which there's all kinds of rocks, and also some soil in which there is all kinds of thorns, and then some soil in which you can see that anything that you put in there is going to grow. And Jesus is using this amazing illustration to explain the heart of man. And this hardened soil, obviously, is a hardened heart that is not willing to receive the Word of God because they've been hardened. And I was thinking, what is this hardening? Well, it's the lack of understanding. It's the lack of faith in the hearts of many that blocks them from receiving the seed of the sower, the message of the gospel. In fact, when you look at these, you know, in Matthew, the Bible says that when they hear, they didn't understand. They listened to the message, but before they grasped the understanding of the message, they didn't receive what it meant for them. So the heart is hardened because of a lack of understanding. In Matthew 13:19, and I quote it over there for you in the notes, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, he listens to the message and before he really puts attention to what it means, look what he says, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart, that is what is sown along the path. So before the understanding or the grasping of the meaning comes, Satan comes and snatches away the word of God. So the heart is hardened because of lack of understanding. And when we think of the heart, you know, our hearts are, if you look at these, they are like, you know, our hearts are the soil in which we receive the word of God. But often instead of studying the message of God for us, we choose to discard the truth or avoid the truth, or leave it aside, and then and end up not grasping its purpose for us. Why? Because we think maybe we'll listen again. Maybe this wasn't for me today. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it means really, so I'm just going to leave it aside. And you know, our hearts are complex and wicked. That's what the Bible says. And in our hearts, the things of God are impossible to understand and to receive in so many ways. It is impossible for a natural man to perceive the things of God. Now, how does that work? If my heart is hardened because I don't understand, and if I don't have the faith because I am a natural man and I listen, but before I understand that message, Satan comes and snatches it away from me, what am I to do? Let me walk you through that for a minute here, because in Jeremiah 17:9-10, look what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things. So when you listen to the Word of God, your heart is deceitful and desperately sick. Other Bible translations say desperately wicked. Who can understand the heart? And see, very often when you're listening to the Word of God you know, you listen to the commandments or to the purpose of God, and in your natural ability, you're starting to reject the gospel, rather than saying, Lord, I want to surrender and listen to see what you have for me. You start rejecting that. Now, in verse 10 in Jeremiah 17, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. So, very often, God tests our hearts through the Word of God that we are reading, and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is coming alongside to help us. So the heart is hardened. Now, the heart is hardened because of lack of understanding, but also because of lack of faith. So it's a combination of, I don't understand, but also, I don't really trust or believe that this is for me. And even though our hearts are deceitful and wicked through faith in Jesus Christ and His message, they can become a spring of life and as rivers of living water. And so look what it says in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So our hearts, our soil, is what guards the sensitivity to the Lord of God, or the receptivity to the Word of God, or to the message of God. Now in John 7:38, look what the Bible says. Whoever believes in me, when you understand and you believe in Christ, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So how do we get to being rivers of living water from being a complex and wicked or a desperately sick heart in Jeremiah? You know, when you go to the Word of God, the Bible is very clear that the Spirit of God brings conviction to our hearts through the message. And so when we listen to the message of God, if we surrender to the Word of God and say, Lord, here I am. The Word that I'm listening to in some ways is difficult to understand, but yet I know this is your truth for me. And you surrender and repent. That conviction of the Holy Spirit would give you an understanding and a transformation and a born-again experience that will lead you to receive everything that the Lord has for you. It's an understanding that comes supernaturally to the Spirit, and it's faith that comes by surrendering to Jesus and saying, Lord, I may not understand everything, but I know that you have a perfect plan for me. Now, what happens really is that many people knowingly reject the message of the gospel and harden their hearts because of the inconvenience of the truth. We have a problem with the truth. How many of you know that we have a problem with the truth? You know, the truth challenges us all the time. And when we look at it and it's difficult to grasp or receive, you know, we avoid it. Look in John 3:19 through 20. Look what the Word of God says. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. In other words, we choose to go to sin, to walk in darkness. Why? Because our works are evil. We tend to do what's wrong and what opposes the will of the Lord. And so this is the judgment. Jesus has come and exposed our problems, our needs, the necessity that we have. But then when we look at the light, we go back to darkness because we love evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So when you listen to the Word of God, what do? Do you run away? Do you avoid those people that want to tell you the truth? Do you reject the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you insensitive to the message of God? Are you receptive? Do you humble yourself and repent and ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, would you give me understanding to grasp your truth? Or would you say, Lord, this is not something that I want to deal with right now, because what I'm doing, it's what I want to do for the rest of my days. Or maybe for another week or another month. See, when we look at this, a hardened heart is an opportunity for Satan to take away the Word of God. Let me just go back to verse 14 and 15. The sower sows the Word, and these are the ones along the path where the Word is sown. When they hear, and then Satan immediately comes and takes away the Word that is sown in them. So a heart that is hardened is an opportunity for Satan to take away the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 4, the Bible says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So Satan is at work, and he has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So this is what Satan does. People who question the word of God, people who disagree with the word of God, people who reject the message of the Lord, people who avoid the truth, people who does not understand or are insensitive to the word of God, Satan comes and blinds their minds, so that they may not see the glory of God. What is these people? What is this group of people? This is people who have an interest in the word of God. People who are ignorant in some ways. Maybe they grew up away from the gospel. They never were exposed to the truth. And in some ways when they listen to the truth, they confuse it and they think it's just a religion. It's lack of conviction or deceitfulness from the enemy, from Satan himself. Maybe selfishness that has grown in their hearts to seek only for their own convenience. Maybe their own religion or their own ideas. Too much education in this world in which they think, you know, I know better than Christians. I know better than this book that they call the Bible. What is this? People who have too much respect for the world. And they think there's been hundreds and hundreds of educated men that I have listened to and they know better than Christianity. People who are in vain by their own power or their own money or their own ability to come up with their own resources for salvation. And they have been obstructed by these things, and the Word of God cannot enter into their hearts, and they cannot find a Savior. And it's a very difficult situation. Now, when Jesus is saying this parable, remember, many of these people in front of Him, one day, or maybe they have already rejected Jesus. And they have come to the conclusion that we don't need to listen to these men. His miracles are great. He's feeding us and giving us bread. And He's performing some things that we haven't seen before, like casting demons out of people. But you know what? His message is difficult to grasp and difficult to receive. And therefore, we're going to go our own way because they were hardened by this time. Most of them were religious people. Ignorant people who had no idea that they were talking to the Son of God incarnate. The one who loved them and was giving them an opportunity for salvation. You think faith is important today? I mean, let me just, and it's not in your notes, but let me just invite you to a scripture in Hebrews. And I want to do this evening because as I was thinking through this, I thought, Lord, there's surely an application of every one of these aspects for us. And in Hebrews chapter 3, look what it says in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. If you hear the voice of God today, maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're listening to this message and you have really not made a confession of faith or surrender your life before the presence of the Lord. Look what it says. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Don't question the Lord. This is the living truth of God given to men and women. And if you read the Word of God and if you say, Lord, is this truth and do you have something for me? I want to challenge you and I want to tell you something. God will speak to you if you're sensitive to Him. And look what's going on here. It says, your fathers put me to the test instead of believing. And look what it says in verse 10. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they will always go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. If you reject the message, if you close your heart to the truth, you will never enter the rest of Christ. Now look for us as Christians in verse 12. Take care, brothers. Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Oh, they don't believe. They just don't have the faith. Look what He's telling us here in the Word of God. It's an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. This is an exhortation. This is a warning to us Christians that we are to take care lest an evil heart unbelieving heart will lead us to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That you, none of you may be hardened. When you look at the Word and you resist the message, and in my conversations with Doug in the past and in my application of the Word of God to many, you know what happens is the message comes to the heart. And rather than surrendering and saying, Lord, what is your will for my life? The people harden their hearts. And they have to, you know, in a way they have to say, you know what? Not today. I know this is kind of calling me out and this is kind of exposing my situation, but not today. I gotta wait a little more. I gotta live a little more in the way in which I am living. Every time you harden your heart, every time you refuse to believe and surrender your life, you're going away from the Lord. And what's here in verse 12 is taking place. You're falling away from the living God. And you are being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Your own sin in your life is telling you, you'll be fine. There will be a time for you to change. It's okay. You've been listening to this for decades, for years. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You don't have to be worried. This is a hard message. You don't have to receive it today. Maybe this message is for someone else in the pews, but not for me. You think that happened today? Very often. So be careful that we don't have a heart like the hardened soil here. Like a hardened soil. The Pharisees, who were always asking for another sign. Yes. The governments, like Pilate, who was always saying, what is truth? A man who talked to Paul, who said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And many more that are in the Bible. You see them there. They listen and they perceive the truth, but they were not ready to surrender to the Word of God. Now let's go back to Mark and look at the next part here, because we can get carried away with the first part. And look in the next verse, 16 and 17, and this is the shallow soil or the shallow heart. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with joy. And I'm amazed by this. You know, they hear the Word and they immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when the tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, immediately they fell away. There's no opposition here in this group. They go to church. They like to listen to the message. In fact, they have some great questions about the gospel. And then when you have an opportunity to talk to them, they ask for more and more, and it's like they are just thirsty waiting for more. But a quick response to the gospel is in them. Right away they want to do everything that you're asking them. And Jesus explains the lack of perseverance to this group of people in the Word of God and in those whose heart is like a shallow soil. Like a shallow soil. Everything in the life of these believers is shallow. Everything. They immediately believe in the gospel, but as reality hits, they immediately leave too. You invite them to church and they're quick to go, but then they don't persevere. Time goes by, and when you wonder what happened to them, you don't even see them anymore. They have moved on. They are in the new thing for their lives, and they're excited about the next thing taking place in them. And so it says they have no root in themselves. And they endure, but they only endure for a little while. It was just maybe a Sunday or two, maybe a year or two. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, not if it arises, but when it arises on account of the Word, they immediately fall away. They go their own way. A shallow heart has no idea of the seriousness of their spiritual personal need. I was thinking through this and I thought, Lord, why are they so quick to come? And why are they so quick to leave? They have no idea of the seriousness of their need. They have no idea of the seriousness of the gospel. They have no idea of the seriousness of the future, of the seriousness of eternity. They have no idea in these things. They are living just one day at a time. But they are not ready to make any commitments. If you look at these men, they were the ones that were following Jesus and eating with Him and asking for miracles and for questions and explanations of everything that He was saying. But yet, when Jesus told them the hard message of the gospel, and when He said, if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And they said, this is a hard word. Who can eat His flesh and His blood? And in John chapter 6, the Bible says that they will not follow Jesus anymore. They each went their own way. Many of them maybe followed the Lord for 3 years. All the way up to the moment when Jesus entered Jerusalem and they were cutting the branches of the palm trees and they were putting the cloaks on the floor and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, to the Messiah. But yet, in the moment of affliction, in the moment when Herod and in the moment when Pilate were ready to crucify Jesus and the Pharisees were saying, He is not of God, they were ready to raise their hands and say, crucify Him. If He is the Son of God, let Him save Himself from the cross. So they only follow for a while. See, a shallow heart comes to Jesus seeking to be blessed, but not to be rescued from sin. Come to church. God wants to give you blessings. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have a nice house and a nice car. He wants you to have the American life. And let me tell you, they flood these places and the churches, right? I mean, who doesn't want to get, right? I mean, who doesn't want to listen that God has a wonderful plan for your life? Who doesn't want to receive a message that is going to make you feel good and that you're going to leave and yes, you come back for the next weekend and you listen again and again and again. But you know, the Bible is clear that tribulation will take place in the life of these people. Let me ask you one thing tonight. Have you experienced tribulation in your life? Is it a reality? Have you been in a point in your life when you say, Lord, how come this is not working for me? What is going on here, Lord? That's real Christianity. That's real Christianity. Many come to Jesus while He preached, and yet He knew they didn't have the right heart to follow Him. In Luke chapter 9, and I want to invite you to some passages here, but in Luke chapter 9, look what the Word of God is saying there. And in verse 57, now, we're looking at the Word of God here. And look what it says. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have the air, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Why do you want to follow me? Are you expecting something from me? Look at the next thing here. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, these are hard words. Hard commandments. And there are times when God is telling us, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to do what I tell you first because I am the Lord. Not just the Savior of your life. And look what it says in verse 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Have you put your hand on the plow? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you excited about the life that He has for you? And are you willing to continue even when problems arise? Ethan and I were talking about this week. Sometimes, you know, to follow the Lord requires a lot of perseverance and heartache and difficulty. A shallow heart has no idea of the seriousness of the cost to follow Christ. Often we are ignorant of the demand from Jesus to every disciple. Yes, there are demands in the Bible for Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and you know, when I look at this, I thought, Lord, there's no other places to go but to this, to your word. In verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And I went through these passages and I thought, Lord, are you expecting me to share this with everyone this weekend? Because I don't even know if I'm ready to receive it on my own heart. Let me tell you, this is not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. A confession of faith and even miracles in the lives of many people means nothing. That's what I'm reading here. If you're not following the Lord 10 years from now, if you're not continuing enduring in the midst of tribulation, if you're not with me at every situation, that does not mean anything. And I know it's hard to say these things, and I know. So often we we base our Christian life, what? Based on what we said a few years ago. Or maybe the baptism that we had. Or maybe the pastor who tells us, you're fine. You're okay. You're a Christian. We need to look at the Word of God and ask, Lord, where am I in regard to this parable? A shallow heart has no strength to persevere in the way of the Lord in the midst of persecution. The Bible teaches that people will depart from their faith, and many who have claimed Christ as Lord and Savior will turn away from the faith that one time they claimed to have. That's what the Bible tells us. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, and it's in your notes, but look at this scripture. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from their faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Why is people leaving Christianity? Why do they walk for a while and then they go away? Because of the deceitful spirit. It's not something simple, is it? I mean, we want to say, well, they need some time to think through things. Yes, there are times when we need to think through things. Amen? Amen? They're going through tribulations. Yes, we go through tribulations and through times in which we don't want to go to church. Or maybe we feel like we go through the Word of God and we don't receive what we want to receive there. And maybe God is just silent in some needs that we have. But we gotta be careful because look at what we're reading here. They will depart the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Now, it's not in your notes, but if you continue through the passage, it says, because of the conscience that is seared, they will influence people to abstain from meat and to eat things that the Lord has already cleaned and things that are blessed by the prayer of the ones who eat them. You think it's about to tell you there that they follow the Antichrist, that they follow some conspiracy thing out there or some weird religion. No, no. It starts explaining of some normal people that do things that they don't supposed to be doing. That's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 1, 4, chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Now in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, it says, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. I mean, you think there's some betraying going on in our time and hate going on in our time? Look what it says. It says, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, and that's the time in which we live, the love of many will grow cold. Not only lawlessness is growing, but actually laws that protect sinful behavior in our nation. Not only lawlessness where, you know, you don't see the wrong things or the bad things. No, no. Let's promote these things and let's make laws that protect evil behavior in the nation and evil governments that do things opposed to the Word of God. And because of that, the love of many will grow cold. Selfishness. And everybody's going their own way. And look what it says. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. You know, there's another parable in the Bible, in the Gospels, that says, it doesn't matter when you start walking with the Lord. It doesn't matter if you were 3 or 9. It doesn't matter if you were 15 or 25. Or if you were 50 or about to die, 75 or 80 years old. It doesn't matter. Salvation is a gift that is given to us by grace. Amen? And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will give you that denary. Amen? He will give you that salvation. So what matters is where you end. Would you end with the Lord? It doesn't matter. The past is the past. And He rescued you from that place. Glory to God. But now that you're with Him, stick with Him. Don't become like the shallow soil. Let me tell you something here in this part. God is love. Christ is a Redeemer and His Word shows us the riches of His grace. But how can we take for granted the precious seed that has been deposited in our hearts? Have you realized that as you come to church and listen to the gospel and take steps to identify yourself as a Christian, a confession of faith, and I want to repeat this, although it's hard, a confession of faith means nothing if it's not backed by the perseverance of your faith. That's what we're reading here. That's what we're reading. Persevere in the faith. There are times in your life when you will say, Lord, can I go one more day? Can I trust for more one of your promises? Is it possible that I'm enduring such battle in my Christian life?
And we saw it 2 weeks ago. Sometimes we experience trials and tribulations that go beyond our own strength, and we have to rely on God. But let me tell you, hang in there. Go forth and allow God to fulfill His promise in you. Because after this life, you will have eternal life. Amen? That's where we are putting our eyes on. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is the third group. And it's an infested soil, a corrupted heart, contaminated. I mean, you look at it and it's just, everything is growing in there. Who is these people? Jesus explains the lack of prioritizing the Word of God in those whose heart is full of thorns. What are these thorns? You know, these thorns are not necessarily bad, ugly, horrible things. I was looking at this and I was surprised and amazed, and I was thinking, Lord, I look at this and some of these things are the things that we do every day. But yet, they are in the wrong priority. An infested heart is not fruitful, for it is consumed with the cares of this world. We care for so many things in this world. But apparently there are so many good things that could get in the way of every Christian and obstruct the fruitful, healthy life that God wants them to have. You start looking more at the things that you have and the ability that you have. I mean, you got everything going for you, maybe. You know, you're young, and your job and your finances, you know, and your image, and you know, you got to look ahead for the day when you have the right college and maybe the right education and maybe the right job and maybe the right family and maybe the right house and maybe the right family growing up and going out to school, and you think eventually one day I will be able to come and give some fruit. But you know, you spent the majority of your life focused in the wrong thing, not in the things of God. It's challenging. You know, very often I get thrown to the side of the road by the American dream, just as everyone else. And I wonder what's going to be of me 10 years or my kids when they go to college. And I wonder what's going to happen when I get to be 60 or 70 years old. And you know, just like everyone else, I want to gain and I want to have more and I want to work and I want to prepare myself. But then I got to remember I have a Savior and I have a Lord whose name is Jesus Christ. And I need to surrender every day to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want from me? Because the cares of the world are inflicting me in many ways. Look in Philippians chapter 3. We may look at some of these passages here. And if you notice, I'm trying to move faster here forward. But look what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. Paul speaking, and remember, this is a man of God, an apostle, and he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. I press on, I mean, I've given it all for the goal, for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. You have listened to the gospel. You have understood the truth. You have believed in the ways of the Lord. And you have persevered for 10, 20 years. Look what Paul is telling you here. Anything that you have attained, hold true to that. And then look what it says in verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and I'll tell you, even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Why will they be enemies of the cross of Christ? And why will they have left what they had in one time? Look what he says. He says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame. What? With minds set on earthly things. Their priorities were wrong. They invested in the wrong thing. They were ambitious. Yes. They were always accumulating and doing and accomplishing, but not for the kingdom of heaven. An infested heart is not fruitful, for it is consumed, as the verse says, with the deceitfulness of riches. One of the biggest deceptions to Christians in America, is the personal desire to be wealthy. If we look at this and we have two cars and we have a place in which we live with the roof, you know, we are some of the most rich people in the world. Are you aware of that this evening? I mean, we have experience and carry and enjoy things that most of the world, 97% of the population in the world, have never experienced. I mean, I'm amazed. I took my children to Mexico a couple years ago. And as we crossed the border, you know, we waited on the border for a couple of hours to get permits and all kinds of stuff. And it was light, it was dark. And we drove for about 40, 60 kilometers, and my kids are saying, we need to go to the bathroom, and we need to go to the bathroom. And I knew that the place where we were wasn't safe enough. So we finally got to a little town, a little city, and we found a gas station thing, you know. And so I walk in there, and she said, you can all go to the bathroom. I found the key, because not in every place or every restaurant or every gas station in the world you get in the restroom like if it was yours, right? There are most places you have to pay for to get in a restroom. You know, if you've been in other places. Now, we all walk into the restroom, and we're just doing our business right there. And when the time comes to wash our hands, you know, my kids are, they are confused. Because they put their hands on the faucet, and there's no water coming out of the faucet. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this? And one of my, I think my girl, my oldest girl, she says, Dad, I put my hands here. And I mean, she's 10 years old, and she says, water doesn't come out here. And I said, yeah, only in America those things happen, honey. You have to push the button here or open the faucet, right? I mean, yeah. It's a different world. But you know, you grow up here in this nation. And we have it all. I mean, we look at the blessings that we have. But sometimes we are still in the pursuit of riches. It's not enough. We want more, just a little more. Just one more year before I retire. Just a couple thousand dollars more before I finish my race. What are we talking about? We need to be careful that we're not entrapped by these things. Look in Timothy. I'm going to invite you to a scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look what it says in verse 6. And I was thinking through this, and I was challenged, and I was thinking, Lord, am I in this group where the weeds grow? It says, godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with this, we will be content. Will we? Look what it says in verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So what we read here is that if you want to be rich, there's a great opportunity for you to go into destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O men of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What a beautiful word. Look in verse 17. As for the rich in the present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is for us. This is for all of us here in this room tonight. I mean, come on. Is the desire of richness, of riches and wealth, holding us from doing the will of God? Leading us away from the priorities of the Word of God? Is that infesting the soil or the heart in which God has planted the word. An infested heart is not fruitful, for it is consumed with a desire for other things. Whether popularity or prestige or success or experience of sinful pleasures that are offered in this world. Look in 1 John chapter 2 what the Bible says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Just remember that as we're going through this is the Word of God. You know, if you think I'm very smart, I'm not. Tonight, what we've done is look at these different passages of the Scripture. And as I read through it, I thought, what does the Bible tell us in regard to these three types of soil? And you know, I didn't have to fight much to find these passages. I had to go to some of the passages in the Bible that talk about riches, that talk about cares, that talk about desires of the flesh, and I will find the right scriptures. And what I'm trying to tell you here, the message has been given to us so that we follow the Lord. Amen? It's been given to us. What's our job tonight? Tonight, our job is to listen and to say, Lord, am I sensitive to you? Our job is to say, Lord, I have persevered for this time. Can you give me the strength to continue on? Our job is to know that we have priorities here in His Word that we have to follow. When I look at this, you know, what a precious Word, the Word of God. We look in verse 20, and this is what is going to finish our passage tonight. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the Word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Jesus explains through this verse the receptivity and the perseverance and the prioritizing of the Word of God in those whose heart is fruitful soil. And what I see here is true Christians hear the Word of God and accept it in their life. And yes, there are times in which we read the Bible and we say, Lord, why would you leave this commandment for me? How can I accept this Word, Lord? I want to marry somebody that is not going to church, but you say that. That shouldn't be done. And you're telling me that because I am a divorced person. I have to wait on you until the moment when you want to bring my husband or my wife back. But I have to wait on you. When I want to do my own will and go in my own way. And I can go on and on and on tonight and tell you there are passages that the only thing that we have to do is accept them in our life. Yes, they are difficult. They are. But they are life for us. And there are constantly, these people, they are constantly growing to be more fruitful in their life. They're growing. Yes, not without tribulation or problems, not without difficulties, but they're growing and they're improving. And you can see that they're heading in their life to fruitfulness. And also, these are Christians that are making decisions and priorities in which they do the will of the Lord. Just take a moment and look at this passage. Who are you? I don't know. You know, I know that you come to church, most of you. I know that some of you are visiting tonight. I don't know you. But you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Test yourself. Are you sensitive and soft to the message of God? How profound is the profession of your faith? Have you suffered in your walk with the Lord and yet continue to stand up and continue to believe in His promises? Have you got ambitions and passions and even good things that get in the way of your relationship with God? Have you considered the cost of being a Christian? You know, let's pray tonight and let's just say, Lord, bring conviction to my life. Actually, tonight, as we pray and we'll start praying here, our brother Hal is going to come and lead us into communion. You may have the elements right there where you are. And I'm just going to pray for a minute, and our brother is going to come. But Lord, as we come to you, we realize the seriousness of the Word of God, your message to us, Lord. And Lord, we know that this has been given to us so that we grow in the knowledge and the understanding of your Word. And that we have, Lord, as we read last week, fear of you. That we be, Lord, broken before your Word, repented and sensitive to everything that you have. And Lord, there are many here, I know, tonight, and many that are listening, Lord, that are going through tribulations and storms in their lives. This 2020, Lord, has been a year in which we have experienced so many trials in so many ways. Lord, in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that loss, in the midst of that difficulty, Lord, allow them to persevere. Allow them to continue in the faith. And Lord, when we step up and do what you're not asking us to do, what we don't supposed to do, we pray, Lord, that you correct us, Lord, and bring us back. We want to end up. We want to persevere and endure and end the race up, Lord, with joy in our lives. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.